We have with us, as usual, Pastor Willie Nilbury of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I'm your co-host, Ed Fox, from Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And we're here to tell you about listening for the joy, reaching our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community with the gospel. Pastor Will, you start us out.
Okay. How you doing, everybody? How you doing,
Eddie? All right.
How you doing, Pastor Stone?
Doing great.
It's a good day, man. This is a great day. Pastor Rosenberg over there sitting down quietly.
All right, Pastor Rosenberg.
He's part of our vast studio audience. And Brother Chad and Sister Nee, so we're all here. And Lord has brought these two gentlemen into our path. Two Jewish brothers who have accepted Yeshua as their Lord and Savior. And we are here with this program trying to bridge this gap between the African-American community and the Jewish community.
Amen.
There is a chasm, whereas once there was hand-in-hand work together, but now there's a chasm between the two. But we know that the answer has always got to be the Word of God. So
Amen.
What we do is we start with the Bible and we stay with the Bible. Amen. And see what thus saith the Lord. So we are here to encourage God's children. That's y'all. Y'all listening? Encourage God's children to reach God's chosen. Amen. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, Brother Stone is going to be, we're going to be talking about his testimony and how he got to where he is today, where he came from, how he grew up, and where he grew up. And then we'll give the folks a few ideas and a few things about what we're doing over at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And Eddie, why don't you tell them what's going on over at the church?
Well, we've got a few things going on. We're having our women's tea. Annual women's tea. It's our ninth annual women's tea, Saturday, June 15th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's free to attend for all ladies 18 years and older. And ladies, understand, we take care of the ladies, the men of our church.
How do we treat them?
We treat them like queens.
Queen for the day. Amen.
They don't even want to go home.
Amen.
It said end at 2:30, but we have to force them out. They want to stay because we put on our best black pants, a white shirt, bow tie, and we wait on them hand and foot.
And you ladies are invited to join us. We
just
have one request. Would you please register online? Go to Good Shepherd Baptist Church. What is that?
GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com and register. Look for the ninth annual women's tea.
And we'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you.
If you just, I'm going to talk to this. If anybody's listening to us that doesn't, you can't remember that website, we have such a good, AT guy.
Oh, yeah.
AV guy. He has set it up so that no matter how you put in Good Shepherd, if you misspell Good Shepherd,
oh my goodness,
you're going to get us. So, I mean, you talk about God doing a mighty thing. So, again, go to the website, look up Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Grand Prairie, Texas, and we'd love to have you come on out, ladies.
We welcome you. And again now, it's 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. Two lights. West of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. You're welcome to come on in. And by the way, we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday on June 9th. You may wear your traditional cultural clothing, and we're asking that if you speak another language or from a different culture, that you come ready to say John 3:16 in your own language if you want to.
Because we want to see what it felt like and sounded like on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Looking forward to because it's our heart's desire. It's our heart's desire and prayer to God that at some point in time, this church looks like heaven.
Amen.
And I got news for you. Those of you who don't like other folk, guess what? You're going to be shocked. You're going to be shot. And so you might as well start practicing down here.
Amen.
And see what kind of work God has done for us and will do through us if we will just humble ourselves
and
before
yield.
The mighty hand of God
yes.
and yield. Let's see. I think you is it time for our daily dose? So we get started.
It is. It's time for our daily dose of joy. Come on,
Pastor. See, because we like to, since we want to keep.
We
this
bring
program,
you joy.
We bring low budget program. So we do our own singing. You bring me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Okay. Okay. I heard this one on the internet, so it's got to be good.
Oh, no. Don't do it. Listen, this is good.
A young lady was videotaping her father, and she was talking to her father, and he said, I learned something very special, and I want to share it with you. And his daughter said, well, what is it? And he said, I found out God's first name. Yeah, that's what he said. And his daughter said, what? He said, Dad, nobody knows God's first name. He goes, I'm telling you, the Lord revealed it to me when I was praying. He revealed it to me. And she, Dad, nobody knows God's first name.
That's what I thought.
He said, I know it. She says, okay, well, what's God's first name? He said, just listen. Our Father, which art in heaven, Howard, be thy name.
Hey, God's man.
We say it all the time.
Hey, I had no idea. Howard be thy name.
Yeah, my oldest daughter gave me that song, Vanessa. She told me about it. So it's good, y'all. So now we have, we want you to draw close to the radio. Remember, this is a call-in program. You can call in and ask questions. Eddie's going to give you the phone number, but we want you to call in. We have this Jewish pastor, and I'm going to let him start off with his testimony of how he got to where he's at. But at some point in time, he's going to tell you how lonesome he was when he got saved and how long it took for him to find another Jewish person who was saved, and especially a Jewish pastor. So we're going to work our way up to that. Pastor Stone. Wait. Eddie, what's the phone number?
Yeah, let me just tell you this. We're a call-in talk radio show. And you call in 972-996-3970. Marvin, my friend in Philadelphia, my Jewish friend, if you're listening, you can call in 972-996-3970. Anyone who's listening to this program and wishes to participate in the discussion, call in 972-996-3970. This is Listen for the Joy.
Amen. Pastor Greg Stone, how are you today?
Great. It's so good to be here with you. Thanks for having me. And my stepfather's name was Howard.
Hey, man.
So you said he was God.
I knew you were close to God, but I didn't know you were that close.
Wow.
Hey, man. It's good. So, brother, how did you get started? Let's start. You grew up in New Jersey. That's where you were born, in New Jersey? Did I get that part right?
I was born in New York, but I grew up in Jersey.
Okay. So does that mean you're disavowing any relationship to New York that I need to pass on to the people from New York?
No, actually, it's a great place to visit.
No, you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of New York. You don't have to be ashamed.
No,
go ahead.
I'm not.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm Jewish. Everybody in my family is Jewish. My mother, my father, my stepfather. There's nobody in my heritage that's not Jewish. Recently, because my daughter-in-law did the DNA test, and then my son did it, and because they did it, they wanted me to do it, so I did it, and I came back literally 100%, not even a 0.01 of anything else.
Wow!
So that's just my heritage. And,
okay.
I don't know of anybody in our family that's not Jewish.
Okay, God bless.
So, loved growing up Jewish, loved our, I went to more than one youth group, more than one synagogue. I loved my friends, loved the whole culture, went off to college, and while I was at college in Philadelphia, Ed, where you're from,
U of P,
at U of P, my life fell apart with drugs.
That happens to a lot of people in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I just alienated myself. I'm sorry, y'all.
There are
people
from Philadelphia listening to this program.
So call in, take me to task.
Yeah.
But it just, my life just fell apart, and there's about 5 years of my life that there's you couldn't get 5 days worth out of that I didn't that I wasn't involved in something.
Yeah.
Right. And at the end of that time, my stepdad said to me, he said, "Greg, why don't you join the military? It'll make a man out of you."
Okay.
Right. And so I really didn't want to do that because
I didn't want to be that much man.
I didn't want to be that much man. No, this is back when the country. I'm 61 years old, so at this time Jimmy Carter was still president.
Yeah.
The country was still not healed from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Nope. Right. And so there was that whole kind of feeling about the military.
A resentment. Yeah.
And so I really didn't want to join. But after about 6 months of thinking about what he had said, and I thought at least I could move out of the house.
Okay.
Because at this point I was living back with him. I'm in my early 20s. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do it. So I go down and I join the Air Force. And while I'm in the Air Force, they of all things, they made me a cop. So I'm a cop in the Air Force, and at this point I'm back. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing while I'm in the military.
Okay.
Right. But there was a pilot who would come out and talk to me about my Jewish heritage, and he was just interested, like you guys are interested, right?
Yeah.
And so he would ask me questions: what you do for Passover, what you do for the Sabbath. And he just asked honoring questions, right? And it didn't feel like he was pushing anything. It felt like he was interested. And because he sounded interested, I found it honoring.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it drew me in. And so one day he says to me, would you like to go to church with me? I didn't really want to go. He's an officer. At this point, I'm enlisted, right?
Right.
But I'm thinking
fraternization, right?
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, I'm going to be kind to him because he's bringing me cold drinks. I'm standing out on his hot flight line, guarding his plane.
Where were you?
He's friendly. This was Hawaii.
Oh,
he stationed me in Hawaii. Tough assignment, right? And so
it was, a lot of combat over there in Hawaii.
Oh, man, it was beautiful. So what ends up happening is one Sunday night, he comes by the barracks. And he knocks on the door, and I'm just ironing my uniform to get ready for work the next day. And I'm standing there, just my pants on and an undershirt. And he says, "Well, you want to go?" And I knew he meant to church. I said, "You mean like now, to church, now?" He said, "Yeah, let's go." And something inside me said, "You said you would go with him. You better go with him, or you're going to look like a liar, because he can see everything in your room, and he can see all you're doing is just ironing a shirt. There's no reason why you can't go. You're going to look like a liar. You better go." Right?
Amen.
And so I thought, well, yeah, I guess let me put some regular civilian clothes on, and so I went with him, and we got to church. And while I was there, there was a lady, we were a little bit late because it was a bit of a drive, and there was a lady who came up to me to hug me during the service, like during the greeting time.
Okay.
And when she hugged me, I just had this encounter with the Lord like I'd never had an encounter, because I'd never had any encounter with the Lord.
Wow. From the hug, you're saying?
This lady just came up to hug me.
The warmth.
Oh, wow.
And I thought to myself, this lady actually loves me. She doesn't even know me. Right?
Yeah,
and so
very interesting.
I remember her name was Toni. She has no idea how this impacted me, right? But I remember during the service, there's a lot of things going on. There was a guest speaker. The pastor from time to time was sitting behind the guest speaker. He'd raise his hand, to the Lord, and people would sing and whatever. And I remember thinking, wow, whatever it is these people got, they're definitely, it's real. And I can see they're getting it out of that book.
Okay.
I'll read that book, and I will not explain it away.
So at being raised as a Jewish young man, did you ever read the Bible?
Oh, I took private Bible lessons.
Okay.
Old Testament, Jewish Bible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's
right. Never read one word of the New Testament. As far as I know, I never saw a New Testament.
Okay.
Right. For me, in my house, the name Jesus was the most often used curse word, by far. Every other curse word combined times 100 would not equal that
just,
word.
Just throw him right in.
That was the curse word of choice in our family.
Wow.
In our whole culture. So what ended up happening was I prayed, God, I can see whatever it is these people got. They're getting it out of that book.
Amen.
I said, I'll read the book. I'll change my life to fit it because I can see this is real. right? And so they had an altar call at the end of that service. I didn't know what an altar call was, right? I didn't know anything, right? And so and the guy who took me to church, he was a home cell group leader for the church. He said, I got to go down there and pray with people. He says, I'll just come back up after a while. So I'm just sitting up in the back, right, waiting. And at the end, after a while being alone, I actually went down there, right, and just kind of like, what's going on? And because these people, it was a Pentecostal church.
Okay, cool.
So, you said he was a cell leader?
Like a home group leader.
Home group, okay.
And so they're all like speaking in tongues and stuff.
Okay.
Right? And I'd never even heard of tongues. Okay. I'd never heard of anything like that, right? So I went down and I thought, I'm alone at this point. So I go up to this altar and just talk to this guy, not to pray, not to anything, right? What is it? What's going on here?
Yeah.
What is this language everybody's talking in? How does everybody here speak Latin? Because I grew up with a friend who was Catholic, right? How does everybody here talk Latin? It's kind of odd, right? He says, that's not Latin, that's tongues. I said, what's tongues? And the guy says, oh, you could receive it. He didn't know I wasn't saved.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, well, you could receive it. Just raise your hands. So I raised my hands like he said, and I tried to speak in tongues like he said. Nothing came out. My legs shook. I felt like a fool. And I do believe the reason my legs shook was because I think there was a spiritual battle over me at that moment.
Oh, the devil, definitely.
The devil just did not want one.
Does not want any of the chosen. Doesn't want anybody to come, and particularly does not want any of the chosen.
I literally shook. So I went home that day, and I didn't receive the Lord because I did. I will. You know what? If he had said to me, you need to receive the Lord, I would have.
Okay.
I was so interested in what I had experienced that day, but he never actually said that. Right, and so I just went home with the firm commitment that whatever was in that Bible, I was going to read it and I was going to do it. So I started with Matthew, you know, the Gospel of Jesus Christ,
right,
you know,
to the Jews,
right, and you know, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. I thought, okay, this is a pretty Jewish book. And so I started to read this book, right, and so this is this is Sunday, January 17th. 1982. Okay. And so I made an appointment with the youth pastor to go to see him on Friday, January 22nd, 1982. I go in to see the youth pastor, Doug Guggenheim, and this is First Assembly of God in Hawaii, right? And the guy, so he says, we're talking, I said, you know, I can tell this Jesus, he's something special. Because I read Matthew. I hadn't gotten to John yet, but I've been reading Gospels. And I said, I can tell this Jesus, he's something special. I just have to do something for him. I said, maybe I can take the youth on bike trips, at least the bicycle out. Maybe I can lift weights with them. I can teach them. I have to do something, right? And he looks at me and says, well, how long have you been born again? Well, I'd never heard the words born again.
Born of what?
Yeah, because I hadn't gotten to John yet.
Okay.
So you'd only read the synoptic gospel.
I don't even know how far into it I was.
folks listening, just listen real good. We don't even think about things like this. This is so fundamental.
Yeah.
Don't make the Bible complicated. Don't make it deep. This is basic stuff. He's telling you he's never heard, you know, he never heard of being born again. And the thing that struck me that you were saying was, here somebody takes you to church, but they never asked you, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as
right.
your Savior? That, you know, that's like going to a car salesman and the guy takes you out, he drives you around,
right.
And then you say, well, and you sit down in his office and he says, well, thank you for coming, bye. Who doesn't do that?
You gotta
Who
close
does
the
that?
Deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, right?
So go ahead.
So he looks at me and says, how long have you been born again? And I'm in this office, just him and me, right? And I said, born again? I've been coming here since Sunday. This is Friday. 5 days have passed by, right? So he said, well, maybe instead of like teaching the young people, maybe what you should do is go to the young adults meetings and the singles, and you'll learn more, you'll grow more. I said, okay, that sounds like a great idea, right? And so I'll do that. So I don't even remember if
saved.
We prayed. I don't remember. This is 1982.
Okay.
I remember, I've told the story many, many, many times, and I honestly do not remember if we prayed in his office or not. We probably did, but I don't remember. But here's what I do remember. I remember that it was about a mile walk from the church where his office was to the bus stop to take the bus back to the Air Force Base.
Okay.
And during that mile walk, I got about two blocks, and all of a sudden, it felt like somebody dropped a bucket of light. Now, the only way I could compare that would be water. It felt like somebody had dropped a bucket of light on my head.
Wow.
And my immediate reaction was to break out in this grin. And as a result of that grin, my immediate reaction was to cover my face and look down. Because I had been a drug addict. And I had been a drug dealer. Right?
Wow.
And nobody who's a drug dealer walks through a street in a city with a big grin while you're all alone because people are going to look at you and you're going to call attention to yourself and you don't want, right? So you're trying to live in the shadows, right?
Amen.
Right.
And so my immediate reaction covered this grin because I couldn't get the grin off my face.
Wow.
Right? And I just couldn't, I could not stop smiling. And so I thought, what is going on here? I gotta stop this, right? And so I'm looking down, I'm trying to not smile. And I get about two more blocks like this, and it occurs to me, what am I ashamed of? Wait, what's wrong with this? Right? This is great. And so,
amen.
So I literally put my hands down, and I go off walking down the street with this really big grin all alone.
So, wow. So, Pastor Greg, now we know why they veiled Moses' face. He came off Mount Zion. Now he was grinning.
Yeah, grinning. Yeah. So the next day, I go to work. Right, and now remember, I'm a cop in the Air Force.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm the next day I was an entry controller. So I'm the guy you want to get into my restricted area. You give me your restricted area
badge.
Oh
yeah, I know
right?
that.
And then I'll let you into the area. Right. So this guy comes up to me. He was my friend. This is my friend.
Okay.
And he comes up to me, drives up, and he looks at me, and he gives me his restricted area badge to get in. I don't say a word.
Okay.
I'm just standing there grinning, right? And he looks at me and he says, what happened to you? Either you just got married or you just got born again.
Wow.
I still did not know those words were in the Bible.
Wow. Because you hadn't got the job.
Right. I got the job.
Hadn't
right?
got the job.
So I looked back at him. I said, well, I didn't get married. Right?
Folks, that's Pastor Greg Stone from Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas. But we've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Who do we have here on the line?
I'm a minister of the gospel, and I was just calling. I'm not trying to create anything. I just want to
just give us your first name.
And see if I'm Pastor Webster from Broadview Baptist Church
okay.
here in Fort Worth.
Please, thank you for calling.
I just want to ask a question because. This have come up many times, and I was wanting to see if y'all could clarify it with the gentleman that says he was raised in the Jewish faith. And it's in the Bible in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, where it speaks about he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly circumcision of the spirit. Could y'all clarify that, and I'm through.
Well, hang on for a minute, just in case. Pastor Stone, would you like to address that for me?
I would love to. Let me start by, as I begin to answer the question for Romans 2, let me start by bringing us to like a good platform for that with Galatians 3, verse 28, where the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. And I think that what happens is a lot of times people will they'll say, well, there's no more such thing anymore as a Jew. But Galatians 3 says there's neither Jew nor Gentile.
Pastor Stone, let me interrupt you. Caller, if you would, please turn down your radio. We get a little feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So there's Galatians 2 says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but it also says there's neither male nor female. And imagine if you would that you know, it's the year 55 and you AD and you just read Galatians and you just got saved and you read this and you say there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female. But and I say I accept the Lord out of Galatians 3:28. The next day I wake up and you know what? I'm still a man. I have not lost my masculinity.
Amen.
And my wife has not lost her femininity. So what Paul is talking about there can't mean that I'm no longer a man, or I'm no longer a woman, or I'm no longer a Jew, or I'm no longer a Gentile, right? The curse says that the man is superior to the woman. The curse would say the woman is superior to the man. The curse would say that the Jew is superior to the Gentile, and the curse would say that the Gentile is superior to the Jew. But it is mistaken to think that we no longer have our identity. So in Ephesians, another book written by the same person who wrote Romans and who wrote Galatians, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says that the Jews and the Gentiles have become one. Okay, and so people think, well, there's no more such thing as a Jew anymore because now we're all the same. But that same book, Ephesians, also says in Ephesians 5, the husband and the wife become one. Okay, well, but nobody would deny the fact that while a husband and a wife, I've been married nearly 37 years, while we are one, yet we are distinct. The man of the family. Yeah. She is the woman of the family.
Yeah.
So we don't lose our identity. We become one in Christ. We become one in Messiah.
And let me add this one thing to this, Pastor.
And we are going to Romans eventually.
Have to be a
Pastor, you're
Pastor, turn down your radio,
turn down your radio, please.
Or your phone or whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, put Pastor, your phone on mute.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Pastor, this is just a little something that has helped me in my pastoral work. Sometimes we get to some passages that are kind of tricky.
Thank you so much.
Kind of tricky sometimes if you don't really catch it. And what I start with is, what do I know to be true? Okay? So if you know what something, like the brother says here, you know you're still a man. You know your wife is still a woman. So before I go and try to, what's the word?
Exegete.
I can already say there's certain things I know are true. And I know that the Jews, you know, Paul says, is God finished with the Jews? So the answer is they're still Jews. They're still Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And the answer is also that in Romans 1:16, he says, I take the gospel message to the Jew first and also to the Greeks.
Amen.
So you have this dynamic of who are these people? And if he's talking about folks who are already saved, that would be a nonsense statement. And so you're kind of saying, well, the person who's a Jew according to the Spirit, but if he's only talking about people who are already saved, it would be a nonsense statement. So he's talking about unsaved people who are known as the Jews, the chosen of God. So I hope, was there anything else that you wanted to add to that? Or
Pastor, did we answer that question?
Did we answer your question for you?
Yeah, I understand what he was saying and everything. But let me say this. I mean, this is I'm a student of the scriptures. And we're supposed to evangelize as Christians. We're supposed to go to the Jews. Even Paul, he wanted to go to the Jews, but they rejected him. So he went to the Gentiles. Okay, now, it's God's will that the Jews will come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world.
Yes.
The only way that we can get to God, the Father. Now,
I agree with everything you just said, brother. Everything you just said.
Why is it that we are being put in a position to where we have to follow the customs and the laws and all these things that the Jewish people practice?
Oh, you don't have to.
The Bible says the reality of everything is Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of everything. He fulfilled all laws. He fulfilled everything.
Okay.
All God's righteousness.
My brother, let me step in here
and it's all about Christ.
Let me say amen to what you're saying. But don't forget, Paul also says, if someone wants to worship on Saturday, that's all right. If somebody wants to eat meat, that's all right. You have liberty. So don't you and I, you know, because we worship on Sunday, I don't worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday, and the Sabbath is Saturday. If somebody else wants to, let them have that liberty. If they want to do the feast, let them have that liberty, because all the feasts point to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so Christ is the
They're
finish Christ's of everything.
Feast, by the
and
way.
He's better than everything. So you'll get no argument out of us on that. It's just that I want to say to you is, if that's how Paul says, if that's how somebody wants to worship, don't sweat it. It's a non-issue, and we don't want to make an issue out of a non-issue. If you want to worship on Sunday, fine. If you want to not eat meat, fine. But it's okay. And we just want, what we're sharing is Jesus Christ. We're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how do we get this message to God's chosen?
Pastor, you need to put your phone on mute. We're getting too much feedback. Turn down the radio.
We're gonna have to cut you off because we haven't been because we can't hear you half the time. So
thank
just
thank y'all so much.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Sir. We appreciate your call,
and
sir.
What's your name again, Pastor?
Okay. So anyhow, to that end,
he had some good questions.
He had a very good, good question.
And I thought the call was so timely. I think he was reading my mind because one of the questions I had was, "Are Jewish?"
This is Brother Chad, by the way.
Do Jewish people have to give up their ethnicity when they become when they accept Christ? Or to the question I think that the pastor was getting at is, what about us Gentiles? Are we to become Jews? So, Pastor Stone, if you will, please address those issues.
Amanda,
that was Chad Garrett. He's part of our audience
and our church,
right?
Praise the Lord.
He's part of our studio audience.
So, does a Jew need to become a Gentile? Does a Gentile need to become a Jew? And I find that question to be just like the question: does a woman need to become a man? Does a man need to become a woman? And no, I want my wife. In fact, Paul, 1 Peter 3:7 actually says, likewise, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the weaker vessel so that nothing hinder your prayers. God actually says there is, men, if you don't treat your wife right,
amen,
I'm going to withhold some of the answers to your prayer. I won't answer your prayers because you're not treating your wife right.
But the Bible says there's neither male nor female.
Right. So we've got to treat the other well, right? Yeah. So there's a part of the man, I think, that wakes up for the first time when he falls in love with a woman.
Amen.
Right? You woke up and you thought, man, I didn't even know this was in me.
Yeah,
I am like alive, right? And I think the same thing happens for women. They fall in love with a man and they like woke up, right? Okay, so I think the same thing happens in the church with regard to Jews and Gentiles.
Okay.
And now what I want my wife to celebrate her femininity in front of me.
Amen.
I don't want my wife to become a man.
No.
I don't want my wife to become genderless.
Amen.
My wife wants me
genderful
to become the man of the family, to act like the man of the family, right? And guys, we may not agree on all of the details of what it means to be the man of the family.
Yeah.
You know, do you work? Are you the bringing provider? Whatever. We might not agree on all of the details, but one of the things we will certainly agree on is that it means something. And it is very significant that I am the man, or you are the man of the family. What does that mean? We'll talk about the details, but it's significant. Likewise, what does it mean? Is it significant to be Jewish? Is it significant to be Gentile? And the answer to that is absolutely. So much so that Yeshua, Jesus himself, said right at the end of the gospel of Matthew chapter 23, he said, talking to Jerusalem, To Jewish people, not talking to Dallas, not talking to Fort Worth, or Grand Prairie, or New York City, Brooklyn, whatever. He's talking to Jerusalem, and he said, because Jerusalem is the city where he will plant his feet down, according to Zechariah chapter 14, and the mountain will split, right?
Amen.
He said he's returning to Jerusalem, no other city physically returning in the second coming, right? And he is not going to return, he said, until Jerusalem says,
he said, that city
is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Jerusalem wants me, I'm not coming.
So Jerusalem is very significant because God said that's his inheritance.
Yeah.
That is his place. And so we have to understand that that's his place inhabited by
Jewish
chosen.
People.
His chosen.
Amen.
So
there are now, this is a phenomenally prophetic, eschatologically significant fact.
Eschatologically. Come on, preacher.
There are more Jews living inside Israel today than in any other country on the planet. And you could not make that statement since the Babylonian captivity.
Wow.
Amen. 560 BC.
Folks, you're listening to Pastor Greg Stone of the Gateway Church and Pastor Willie Milbury, pastor of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We've got with us today Chad Garrett in our studio audience, along with Greg Rosenberg in our studio audience. And folks, I'm Ed Fox, Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Director of Christian Education. You can call in right now on 972-996-3970. You're listening. We're on Listen for the Joy right now, and you can call in on 972-996-3970. Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. We've got an open line, and we're waiting for your call.
And while we're waiting, I always have questions, and I'm so glad that Pastor Stone
is here. Don't let
this
man in here.
This is Chad Garrett, folks.
There's too much joy in this room.
Too much joy. So you've touched on quite a few things. So we talked about the ethnicity part of it, but you mentioned Zechariah and that during the second coming of Christ, the second advent, Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives. And you use that big word, eschatological, so that's just the end times. Mm-hmm. That just means things
study of the end times.
So with Christ coming back to the Mount of Olives, we know that Jerusalem is still a very important part. So then it's perfectly okay for us to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. But my question to you is this. In 1948... the nation of Israel was reinstituted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to think that is the greatest miracle of the last century.
Amen.
That occurred right in front of our eyes. How can a nation go out of existence for over 1,800 years, come back to the same land with the same language and the same liturgy? I think that's pretty important. So I want to get your ideas on the reinstitution of the nation of Israel.
Stop the music. Stop the music.
All right, all right.
We're going to have to put a, what do you call it, put a stop on that one because we're running short on time and we haven't got to the best part of Pastor Stone's testimony. Now, just so y'all listening, Pastor Stone will be back on the first Saturday of July. What day is that? So y'all write down Brother Chad's question.
July
6th. July 6th. He will be back on the 15th, we're going to be having the best of Listen for the Joy. We're going to be replaying our very first program that we had with Fridge, Kevin Wood. But right now, we want to get back to two things. One last word for the brother who called in. I say thank you so very much. And I want him to think about this. Think of the ramifications of if God turns his back on the Jews. What assurance do you have as a Christian? If God got sick of the Jews and turned his back on them and never sent the gospel out to them anymore,
he said,
I'm through with them. What assurance do you have as a Christian that God will keep his word to you? So I just want you to think about that, and I'm going to leave that with you, but I'm going back to Pastor Stone, and Eddie will keep his eye on the time. Pastor Stone, you left us you're at the gate, grinning like the Cheshire Cat, and the gentleman's coming through, and he wants to know what happened to you. So
yeah,
here's what I really believe happened. I believe that I got that when I was standing in that pastor's office, and I said to him, "I can tell this Jesus is something special, and I just have to do something for him." Okay, so I believe that really what I was essentially, now I wasn't using Christianese.
Right.
I wasn't using the language that we normally tell people to use when they get saved, right? But here's really what I was doing. The word Lord, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.
Yes.
So the word Lord is the Greek word kurios. It means an owner or a master. So an owner is a person who has property, and a master is a person who has a slave. And when you declare Jesus as your kurios, as your Lord, what you're really saying is, you are my master, you are my owner, I am your property, I am your slave, I will serve you. And so that's really what you're saying in Romans chapter. So when you're saying, I believe in the resurrection. And what I said to that pastor was, I said, I just have to do something for him. I can tell he's something special. I have to do something. I was declaring in my English language,
amen,
that I was he was now my Lord, right? And at that moment, I got saved.
You believe the report.
I believe.
Exactly.
Because how else? How could you serve someone who is dead?
Right.
Right. I believed he was alive. I was reading the Gospels. This guy is alive.
Brother,
right?
Brother Stone.
I want to serve him.
Brother Stone. Now stop it. You're making the gospel way too simple. Okay.
You have me shouting up in here.
It's almost as almost as like you're saying if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. I mean, it's got to be more
simple.
Is that simple?
It's that simple.
But why is it so difficult for us to tell it to other folks?
I don't know. So that's the moment I got saved. See, Satan believes that Jesus has risen from the dead.
Yes.
Satan believes
that. Well,
he knows he trembles on the throne, right?
And he trembles.
He believes that. He saw him rise from the dead. In fact, in the seven sons of Sceva, the demonic, came out of that one man in Acts 17, and he said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? Right? So if he's going to say, Paul, I know, then that demon is saying, I know about the resurrected Jesus because I know what Paul's
Absolutely.
Preaching.
Amen.
So Satan believes in the resurrection.
Yes.
But the one thing Satan will never do is say, I'm going to serve him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right? And in that statement, that's what I was
saying.
Never
call him Lord.
Right.
One day he will.
I'm going to serve him. He is my Lord. And at that moment, I got saved. And I started to just read. I had started to read. I read the entire, it's not hard to do. I read the New Testament in two weeks.
Did you finally get to John?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man.
Because that's really what it comes down to. If you want to receive the Lord, it really comes down to, see, there's too many people who just want to make Jesus Savior and not Lord.
Amen.
Okay, and here's the difference.
It's cheap grace.
Yeah, it's cheap grace, but it doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Because if you want to make Jesus your Savior and not your Lord, this is really what you're saying. Jesus, will you be my maid?
Yeah.
Will
Ooh,
you
do
be
what
my
I tell
servant?
You to do. Yes.
Will you clean up my mess?
Yeah.
You exist to clean up after me. And when you try to make Jesus your Savior and not your Lord, you get nothing.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you make Jesus your Lord, you become his property, and now he will take care of you. He will become your Savior because you now belong to him. That's why Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, kurios, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall receive a Savior.
It's a done deal.
Right?
You've
got to give your life to him. Jesus didn't come and just give us empty words.
Right.
He gave us his life. And what he wants from us is likewise. What he really wants from us is to say something like this. Jesus, you died on what should have been my cross for my sin. You gave up your life for me. And now I'm going to give up my life. And I'm going to live out the life that you gave up on my behalf. I
Amen.
Give my life to you. You gave your life to me. I give my life to you. And when you give your life to him, that's when you get salvation. That's when you get a Savior. Otherwise, if you're just trying to get a Savior and not a Lord, you've just made him your maid.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we know that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
This is. I'm just thrilled at the whole situation. I'm preaching out of the Book of Acts this week, and I'm looking at where it says that when the folks got saved, and you know how do you know that 3,000 got saved? Because they stood up, they stood out, and then it says that every day they went out telling people about Jesus. And here's what struck me: that's just like when we all get saved. When you got saved, you couldn't keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
You had to go to, and we want to encourage the people here listening. You know, come on out to Good Shepherd. Go to Gateway. Gateway has on Friday nights, you guys have a Jewish outreach ministry. Am I describing it correctly?
Yeah, it's a Gateway Shabbat service. I would call it a bridge service. Actually, we only have it once a month.
Okay, when you say bridge service, explain.
The reason I call it a bridge service is because we do not do in that service exactly what a Messianic synagogue would do,
okay.
Nor do we do exactly what a church service would do. We're kind of a bridge. We're kind of like we're helping people see the connection between the church, Christianity, and her Jewish roots, and how the church has been grafted onto the olive tree roots of Israel. We do this once a month on Friday nights. It's almost always the first Friday night of the month. So it will be Friday, June 7th. The next one will happen to be the second Friday of July. We rarely do that, but we are going to do the second Friday of July because the July 4th weekend will cause all this.
So if somebody has a Jewish friend, an unbelieving Jewish friend, would this be a good place to bring them, or is it mostly for Gentiles?
No, it's a perfect place to bring them.
Perfect place. Yeah. Y'all, write that down. Write that down, because we're challenging you to reach out to your Jewish co-worker, your Jewish co-laborator at your job, your doctor, your lawyer, your banker, your friend, your college student. We want you to invite them. Now, we don't have any. Now, come to Good Shepherd. I'll give you everything we got, which is the gospel. But this might be something where your friends might say, well, let me go kind of tiptoe in and see what's out there. So I encourage you, go to Gateway.
Well, thank you.
And see what they're teaching. We just want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's
Amen.
It.
So it's June 7th at 7 p.m., and it's at the South Lake campus in Gateway, Gateway Church in South Lake. But let me just say that one of the things I love about this, it's a Friday night service, so it doesn't interfere with any other church. We love it when people come from other and then go back to their church, right? We love that, because what we're doing is we're trying to feed the church, because what ends up happening is, here's just the hard reality. More than 80% of the Jews who get saved are led by Gentiles.
Amen. Wait, Brother Rosenberg been sitting over there real quiet. Is that a true statement, Brother Rosenberg?
I think it's low. I think it's more in the 90%.
Wow.
He says he thinks it's more than 90%.
Every Jewish person that I know was brought to the Lord by a Gentile.
Amen. Wow. That's big. That's y'all. And God says that God says that we received salvation by their fall, and he says, and by our mercy, they'll be brought back in. They'll be grafted. God is saying, just love somebody.
That's
okay?
It.
Okay? Just love them enough to give them the gospel. We had talked a little bit earlier about how you said the most I know we're running late. What's the most anti-Semitic state thing that you could think of? You were telling
us about the most anti-Semitic thing a person could do is to not tell a Jewish person how to go to heaven forever.
Amen.
I mean, what could you do that's more anti-Semitic than to deny a Jewish person what you believe is the only way to heaven?
Amen.
Folks, you're here at Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's Chosen. It's brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. I'm Ed Fox, and I'm the Good Shepherd Baptist Church Education Director. We've got Pastor Will, who you just heard. He's the pastor of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And you've just heard Pastor Greg Stone, and he's a pastor at the Gateway Church South Lake Campus. And we've got another pastor, Greg Rosenberg, who's from the South Lake campus as well. And our final guest here was Chad Garrett. He was in our studio. He still is in our studio audience.
And we wrote down Brother Chad's questions.
Yes, we'll come back to that next time. Saturday in July. These are three more events that we'd like for you to consider participating in. We want you to celebrate Pentecost Sunday at Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 10:45 a.m. service. We'll welcome you on June 9th. You may wear your traditional clothing and bring a friend. Come on out and enjoy that day with us. Then on June 15th, we've got the 9th annual Women's Tea. Carry the gospel wherever you go. It's in our sanctuary, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It's free to attend for all ladies 18 years and older. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Pre-register online. If you go to Good Shepherd Baptist Church, gp.com, you can register online. And finally, we have Aerial Ministries Saturday Seminars. This is part 6, The Life of the Messiah from a Jewish Perspective. It's on June 22nd, 2019, today, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. June 22nd, 8:30 to 1 p.m. We're cranking up the joy here at Listen for the Joy. God's children encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen, brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I'm Ed Fox, your co-host.
Amen.
And Pastor Will's here.
Brother Chad just told me, if you want to find out a biblical reference for Pentecost, go to Acts chapter 2. And we're running out of time, but I'm going to give Pastor Stone the last word. I thank y'all for joining us today. Thank that pastor for calling in. Let's just get to talking about how do we deal with the Jewish community and how do we reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My brother, you close us out. Finish up with it.
The most wonderful thing, you know, if you had a friend who was in the hospital, say he broke his leg, and what would you do? You would go visit him. You wouldn't worry about a bunch of doctrine. You would just love your friend. And that's how you win a Jewish people, a person to the Lord. You just love them. Don't Amen. Argue with them. We Jewish people, we're a family of lawyers, right?
Amen.
don't argue. Just love the Jewish person into the faith because they need Jesus just like you need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Changed my life and my whole all my family's different.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Stone. And looking forward to being back with you on July 6th, the first Saturday of July. He's going to be back to finish up this conversation. Yeah. In the meantime, y'all crank up the joy.
Crank up the joy!
The preceding program was paid programming, and the views expressed are not those of the staff or management of Heaven 97 KHVN.
Some guys are okay with settling. Other guys just want to do things right. That's why they use Gold Bond Men's Lotion with intensive moisturizers and skin-strengthening proteins. For skin that looks and feels good, don't settle. Go for the Gold Bond. You work for the sweat. You respect the sweat.